Welcome to the Ephesiology Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the study of the early Christian movement and its implications for the church today. We are in the beginning of our new series, and we are still trying to figure out what we call this. I am Andrew Johnson, a pastor at Neartown Church in Houston, Texas. Today, as always, we have Michael, our resident ephesiologist, and I hit record early, and I wanted to invite you, the listener, into the conversation. Michael and I are excited to talk about something that is very unexciting. If you are watching a video recording, Michael is shaking his head furiously. Because
I'm not excited about this. You know this. I'm not excited about the subject that we're going to talk about.
So as of this recording, we are in the beginning part of September 2024. The tenor around us seems to have a focus on politics. And Michael and I desire that our focus not get lost in the politics. But in the midst of all of this, we desire to stay focused on Jesus, to stay on his mission, and to not get distracted, to not get divided, to not miss the mark of what we are being called to. And so about 3 seconds prior to hitting the record button, Michael and I are furiously trying to land on what we will call this series. And frankly, I think the discussion was worth putting on air. And so welcome to essentially a fly on the wall perspective, as Michael and I are looking at what is happening around us and why we want to stay focused on Jesus, doing things the Jesus-y way, helping each other navigate the culture right now so that we actually come out on the other side. Michael, I surprised you by hitting the record button. So as a recipient of being shocked in such a way, what are some of the things that are going through your mind as we're even talking about this series?
Yeah, well, I think a lot is stirring in my mind from the theological, missiological to the personal. And I have to be honest, you know, I'm very weary of everything that's going on in the United States politically, well, globally as well, because, you know, I wrote that book in 2019 or some, whenever that was, 2020, just before the last election, on When Evangelicals Sneeze. And the idea behind the book was that whenever American evangelicals do something, there is literally a global impact. And we see this. I mean, it's just so very clear. I cannot tell you how many times I'm in a foreign country and I'm asked the question, or the subject comes up about the American election. Who did you vote for? Isn't one candidate better than the other? And I mean, just in the most surprising places, you have people not even from the United States that are deeply passionate about American politics, and Christians as well. I interact with many different sorts of people when I travel, but I'm surprised at the number of Christians around the world who are deeply passionate about who the president of the United States is, and which political party they support. And you know what? In many cases, it's just heartbreaking to me that what we do in this country as Christians, outside of the witness of who Jesus is, that those actions have repercussions around the world. And so the subject of politics in the United States is a subject that I'm not excited about.
Right.
It makes me weary. It puts a uneasy feeling in my stomach because I know, I mean, ultimately, there have been so many voices speaking into this over the past decade, well, or more.
I would say, plus some.
Yeah, but especially over the past decade that, at least in my estimation, it's not moving the needle. In fact, Christianity still is declining in the United States. Churches are still closing at a rapid rate. Not that politics is the cause, but there's certainly a correlation between the two. The reputation of evangelicalism has plummeted. The reputation of pastors in the United States has plummeted. And of course, there are a number of things that contribute to this, not just politics, but certainly politics is one of them. So, yeah, so I'm not all that excited about the topic.
I think there is so much that is important for us to talk about here. I mean, even as you were just talking, you know, I have the Postman line from Amusing Ourselves to Death. Politics often acts as the, and now this, right? Like, you just laid out all of the things that we need to keep in focus, keep in mind the fact that there are people legitimately walking away from the Christian faith and many, many, many more, who want nothing to do with Jesus. That needs to be primary. That needs to stay in focus. And yet we have this furor around us, all trying to reach this fever pitch of what is happening in politics is the most important thing. And you need to not pay attention to the thing that you said was the most important thing. And actually pay attention over here, have an opinion, put your whole self into it, because the future of this country depends on how you pull that lever or press that button or fill that box. And by doing this one single thing, you know, the world will either be won or lost. And yet we believe in a king who has already come. He sits on the throne. We know who wins. Why are we continuing to chase after another to be the savior to free us from the latest bad thing?
But that's human nature, isn't it? I mean, we're always chasing after some figure, either real or not.
Yeah, but what's the role of the church? Right? The role of the church, yeah. You're right, Michael, that is human nature. And the role of the church is to stand against that common tide and say, yes, but Jesus. Mm. And that is what is so frustrating about one of the ideas where I have suggested for this series is this political moment. One of the things about this political moment that I find the most disheartening is that there are people who love Jesus, follow Jesus. They encourage me in my walk. I mean, pillars of the faith type people, right? And when it comes to this political moment, some of those same voices start parroting all the things that are the common party lines. And actually then, because they say it, they are giving cover to any Christian who says they now need to change, you know, their own activity and focus and passion and just chase after this big political thing right now. Have an opinion, gotta vote, gotta, you know, push for things. It's a weird season, Michael. It's a weird
season. It is. I would agree with you. And for that reason, I've tried to stay out of these conversations just because I know where they lead. I mean, they don't seem to lead to anything real good. And I know even just saying what I just said will cause some to rise up and and say, what are you talking about? Of course, it's there. It can come of good. But I'm just not seeing it. And I think for the most part, I'm somewhat in tune with what's happening in the United States, politically speaking. I'm somewhat in tune to listening to the various voices, but making the very concerted decision not to enter that conversation just because it's not a winnable conversation. It's not a productive conversation, because at the end of the day, like we were talking about, on whatever it will be, November 6th, you know, the world doesn't change just because of an election. The United States isn't automatically, because one political party is taking leadership of the presidential office, that doesn't mean that everything is different. And perhaps that's some of the genius of the United States political system. You know, we're governed by three branches of government, the executive, judicial, and executive. And so there's not any one person that is ultimately having the final say, but there's a collective nature to a republic like the United States is. But in effect, it seems to me that most of us act like we're not a republic, but that we're something else, and that everything hinges on who sits in the Oval Office. And it's just not the case. I mean, it hasn't been the case in the past. Sure, there are executive decisions that are made that have impact. But ultimately, right, there are checks and balances to our system.
And well, there should be. And I will at least push back a little bit in that the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, they are supposed to be a really healthy checks and balance. But when rare opportunities for the executive decisions to change the structure of other branches that then continue to make decisions to support the executive branch, or the legislative has been voted in to have an overwhelming majority in the favor of the executive, then it does get changed quite quickly. There are decisions that are made, some good, some ill. And again, everybody who wants to claim political allegiances will define what is good and ill differently. So I don't want to, even in our frustration, I also don't want to say it's useless. I don't think it's useless, Michael. Like that's, if we want a political moment, we would rather have an unpolitical moment to step away from all the noise, bring calm, stay on mission. I don't want to stick our heads in the sand, right? Because the system that exists will continue to operate, whether we take part in it or not. And that system will continue to operate doing the things that it has always done, which makes some people happy. And then it sometimes might work people over like it always has done. And we have a system in place. Again, I'm trying to play a bit of a devil's advocate. I know that this is coming back to some conversations you and I have had both on mic and off mic, but there are local branches of government, right? There are decisions that can be made in a political nature that actually do bring lasting change, to actually see the kingdom of God represented, or the things of God pursued more in a community. I mean, isn't politics can be used by God, right?
Well, absolutely. And I think that's what we often forget, that, I mean, it doesn't matter what, at the end of the day, who you vote for or what political party you support or what position you take on whatever issue, at the end of the day, God is still sovereign. And he will give us who we deserve. And I mean, we see this over and over again in the Old Testament and the nation of Israel. We see it at some level in the New Testament as well. The political climate of a place does not deter God from doing what he's doing. And he still hears our prayers even and will grant us on occasion the answer to our prayers, even if it might be to ultimately our detriment. And so, yeah, but all of that to say, God remains sovereign in what's happening, not only in this country, but around the world. And so, I mean, just for me, and I don't think I'm alone in this, the ultimate issue from a human perspective is how will what we do impact our witness in our community? And that's what we need to give attention to. How will Jesus be exalted by our actions? And how will we be models of what it means to glorify Christ in this political moment or this unpolitical moment or on November 6th or January 6th or whatever. And that, I think, is what we have to weigh in our hearts. How is this going to bring honor to Christ?
So much of what we talk about on ephesiology and as we look at missiology is to really encourage brothers and sisters to always have in focus what God is already doing, how is he moving, and what does that look like in your context? Right? How is he bringing his good news in the context you're in? And I think this is, you know, just as you said, we do need to keep that in mind as we're having a conversation about this. There might be contextually different actions that where it would be wise. I just saw Twitter explode. I try to stay off the thing. I'm just letting our listeners know there's not much good that's on there. social media in general, actually. But I did pop over there and I saw the latest fight in the Christian space was because somebody put an article out that said, the funny thing is, Michael, I can't even remember if the article said your kids should be sent to public schools or your kids should be sent to private schools, private Christian schools, but it had a focus of one of those things. And everybody on both sides exploded with passionate pro thoughts and passionate anti thoughts. Mm-hmm. And how dare you? And I can't believe you wrote that. And, you know, equal anger on both sides. But what was coming out from some of the comments from people is like, you can have all these opinions and that's great. This is still a contextually specific article. It's a contextually specific suggestion because some schools are better in some locations than others. And actually the best thing for your child and the best thing for your family is going to be determined by you, your family, your children, your environment, your school system. Like there are so many different factors. And so I don't think you and I want to enter a discussion around the unpolitical moment, the political moment, and say, now there's one thing that everybody must do. And as long as everybody's doing this in all contexts, it doesn't matter. What we're saying is the one thing is stay focused on Jesus. What does it look like to continue to be on mission for him in your context? And how can you do that not just around who you're voting for in a presidential election, but how are you living that out the day before, the day after, just like you said? Like, what does this look like when the political moment passes?
Yeah.
How are you actually staying on Jesus?
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I hear you and I agree. But even that becomes divisive because people then begin to, and you see this on social media, posting pictures of Jesus wrapped in an American flag or, you know, their political person bowing at the cross or, you know, whatever it is. And so the perception of who Jesus is begins to be conformed around the individual who's propagating that perception. And
but don't you just say that's the, again, that's you're just because you use the example doesn't mean that's a good thing, right?
That's, oh no, I don't think it's good at all.
I'm just saying, like, this is backing my idea. Just stay away from social media. Just stay away. There's nothing good there. There is very rarely anything good. Yes, you can take a bit of a temperature of what's being said out there, but what the temperature you're getting is the extreme, yeah. Right? So yes, that's not helpful.
Well,
it's also not common.
Right. We'll see it. And it's already entered into the conversation. The Christian rhetoric, that will ultimately make its face known in the different political platforms. And everybody's trying to appeal. And this is a part of what religious nationalism is. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, it's the appeal to that religious language to somehow express to others that your view or your party has the favor of whoever it is that you're worshiping. And again, this isn't a uniquely American thing. It's a global thing. Religion is used in untold ways to manipulate populations. And anyway.
Well, listeners, I think you can understand that Michael and I are both hesitant to record an entire series or a few interviews over, well, anything connecting to this topic, mainly because so many of us, whether it's our upbringing, whether it's the community we find ourselves in, or whether it's our own personal beliefs, it's a trigger. It's something that can incite you. And you may not realize how passionate you are about something until somebody kind of takes a stand against it or even says, hey, that thing that you are the most passionate about, it's actually not the most important. It just isn't. And even saying that is like, well, those are fighting words. You know, we don't want to have a podcast or a series of podcasts where our listeners are feeling like they are being invited into a fight or they're being challenged. We don't want to just record a topic just to have people excited to be angry. Like that's how social media works. We are not trying to play that game. What we are trying to do is say the thing that is happening around us is important in that we need to approach it and deal with it in a Jesus-y way. Mm. We can't stick our heads in the sand. We have got to figure a way to talk about these things, to challenge each other, Michael to me to Michael, our guests to us, where we are at least saying, we have to deal with this. Mm-hmm. We can't ignore it. How do we actually encourage people to follow after Jesus, to navigate this season in a Jesus-y way? And so I think it's worth trying, Michael. I think it's worth trying. And we may not, quote unquote, arrive, but we'll have some conversations, and by the grace of the Holy Spirit moving in us in our conversation, that we'll point towards him.
Yeah. 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 Well, I'm game reluctantly, I guess.
Okay.
And part of this too, I mean, the reason why I'm game is I know what we've done in the past. You know, we've had Scott McKnight, for example, on talking about the book of Revelation and how he calls the church to a posture of discipleship in moments just like this. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about including that podcast in this series. And I think prior to Scott, we had Andrew Whitehead on talking about American nationalism, Christian nationalism. And I think that was a great podcast too, just to get our heads around, you know, the characteristics of nationalism and the impact that it can have. So I'm excited about those two already being recorded. Those have been out in the podcast sphere or whatever you would say, but we'll include those in the series. And then we have others that are going to join us as well, pastors and missionaries who have ideas, thoughts, I think very thoughtful thoughts on this political, unpolitical moment, whatever it is that we're in. And I'm excited about that. So we've already recorded a podcast with Steve Besner, and I love the title of his book that's coming out in October, Your Jesus is Too American. And I love that Steve, who's a pastor of a church in Houston, I love how he is framing this and really challenging us to think about how we think of Jesus. And then we'll have Caleb Campbell on as well. You can say more. I haven't received the book yet. I don't think I have, or at least, oh, maybe I did. No, I think I just remember seeing
the link. We have the link.
Oh, we have the link.
We have the link, Disarming Leviathan. Caleb is ministering and has been in Phoenix for a number of years. And similar to Steve, he's writing this book because he sees, how do I actually help the people who are in my congregation and so many like them truly love their neighbors, even when the political topics come up, even when the person who I am trying to love is so quote unquote unlike me? How do I actually go about showing them Christ and living in such a Jesus-y way that they see who we serve? And it's not just them. Like you said, we've got an upcoming conversation that we will be recording. So I don't want to spoil too much because it hasn't happened yet. But it is going to be a fun series, Michael.
Oh, I don't know if I would characterize it as fun. I think maybe challenging series.
What's not fun about that?
Right. Well, yeah, I don't. What's not fun about it is the nervous feeling I get in the pit of my stomach when talking about politics. You know, so there's that old saying. I was thinking about this before. My mom used to say the two things we never talk about are religion and politics. And I used to always say, well, since I speak so much about religion, just because of having been a missionary and in the Christian context, that I talk about religion often, that I should perhaps not talk about politics.
Yeah.
But here we are. I mean, the reality of who we are as people is that we're all impacted by all of these things in our culture, whether we realize it or not. Mm-hmm. And so as non-political as I've been over the past several years, in terms of, you know, not landing on one political party or another and leaning more to an Anabaptist view of political participation, I'm still impacted by that. I'm still impacted by politics. Mm-hmm. And so I suppose it merits some conversation.
Yeah, when you said what your mother said, I have heard the same quote, but you add money into it, right? The things you never talk to people about are politics and money and religion. And I remember in the early 2000s, we went over to Turkey and we were in Istanbul. And what we found out was actually those were the three first questions they asked you. Where do you work? How much do you make? And who do you vote for? And it was shocking, right? Because it was just so quote unquote un-American. Like that was the literal opposite. The things that we're not supposed to talk about, they wanted to talk about. And so I think maybe even for our listeners, you and I are a little gun shy to have this conversation, but others are not. Others want to have this conversation. And I think for the people who are all too excited or the people who are hesitant, I hope that both sides can join us on our walk as we are trying to navigate this moment. So I'm going to say this cultural moment or this, no, that's another podcast. It's a very good podcast, but this political moment, because we are going to seek to figure a way where we can look at the culture around us and seek to navigate it in a Jesus-y way. So Michael, I think that's what we're going to do. We're going to try it. We'll see what comes of it. And you know, the beauty of recording stuff is we get to also choose whether we post it or not.
That's right.
So I don't even know if you'll hear this, but I trust you will. So Michael, I'll land this plane here. Listeners, Michael has referenced things that are already in our podcastosphere, that there are things that are going to fly up. We are going to link all of these on our website. So go to masterclasses.ephesiology.com. We will post the videos of some of our past episodes that will be kind of a part of this political moment podcast series. But we will be dropping these over the next few weeks. I hope this is not just an encouragement to you, again, all happy, happy, fun time, but I hope that this is something that is also a bit of a challenge to you, that you are able to take these things to Jesus and say, okay, are you still king? Have I allowed someone else to sit on your throne for a bit? It's okay. It is okay for us to allow God to use all the things that are around us to point us again to himself. So for Michael, for myself, thank you for doing theology and community with us today on the Ephesiology Podcast.